ready for it? Welcome to Enchanted, a Taylor Swift podcast. For us three Swifties, this is our holy ground. Every episode will consist of us breaking down a Taylor Swift song based on her lyrics, when she wrote the song, our own connections to the song, and of course, throwing out different theories based on our girl's love of a good Easter egg. Come back, be here every Sunday for a new episode.
Welcome back to another episode. Today we are going to discuss the first song she wrote for this album. She, of course, is Taylor Swift. I don't know why I said she. Like, everyone just automatically knows what we're talking about. But that song is My Tears Ricochet, which I have to say, at first I did not like this song. I was like, oh, I could care less about this song. I don't know if it's because she used the word ricochet or what it is, and I don't like the word ricochet. I think it's like a really ugly word. And it just makes me think of like guns in revolutionary times. I don't know why, but that's what the word makes me think of. But I will say I've come to appreciate this song, and I'm interested to hear your guys' thoughts on it. But I know I've told Cardi C this before. I truly think this song is a giant middle finger to her old label.
Oh, yeah.
This song is all about her old label and that relationship. What do you guys think?
No, I agree. First and foremost, I love this song. Like, this is probably my second or third favorite track five. I'm not totally confident in that. I was actually really surprised that this one was the track five. Like, I was like, that's like so interesting that it's this one of all of the songs. And so but here's the thing. This song was my number two most listened to song in 2020 because it comes right after Exile. And I think that they're partnered so well together. I can't really explain why, but like the fact that you go from Exile to My Tears Ricochet, it makes me so happy that those are right next
to each other. So depressing, but it makes Cody happy.
It makes me happy. That's the most important thing. But yeah, I think it's great. I do think that it is the biggest middle finger that you can possibly raise to Scott Borchetta and Scooter Braun, or the people that shall not be named. Just talking about, I didn't have it in myself to go with Grace, because when I'd fight, you tell me that I was brave. So it's like, it reminds me of a dad basically telling his daughter, like, okay, like, yeah, you're upset, but it'll be over, you know, tomorrow. It'll like, you know, something along those lines. And then it's finally like, do you not freaking get it? Like, I'm always going to be angry. I'm going to be upset. I'm going to be pissed. Like, just let me be furious about this. And let me own what's rightfully mine. Meredith, what say you? I feel like you don't like this song. That's my gut instinct.
No, I actually really like this song. Because when it came out, it was a few months after my husband had died, and there were just so many moments of it where, to me, it was very, it felt like it was me singing it to him.
Yeah.
That like I didn't have it in me to go with Grace. If I'm dead to you, why are you at the wake? But even I think like the most poignant part of it was where did it go? Like, I can go anywhere I want, just not home. And when it came out, I was, for lack of a better word, being forced from my home to move home with my parents to like start my healing and my recovery. So it was one of those things of like, in his death, yes, he was finally at peace, which was great, but it also left me to process everything that I hadn't really been processing up until that point. So I know that that's very much not what it's about. And I know that there is a lot of like animosity within the song. And while there's not necessarily that, like with my late husband, there's just something about it that there are just key lines that just really make like put me back in that moment of just reliving his death in that raw first few months and having to try and move myself forward.
Well, I'll say like the one line that sticks out to me constantly, like anytime I listen to it, is, "And I still talk to you when I'm screaming at the sky." Because that makes me think of like when my grandmother passed away, like there were days where I would just like be furious with God and be like, "Why did this have to happen?" And I would like scream at the sky. And you have to also, grief, like you both know this, so I'm preaching to the choir, but grief comes in different shapes and forms. So for Taylor, she's in this song, I feel like she's partially grieving the person that she thought Scott Bruschetta was, and the person that she thought was like a fatherly figure to her, but just turns out that he's another snake in the pile. And I can definitely understand where you're coming from, because there are elements to me of like, you're grieving a death of somebody, even if they're still alive, you're grieving the death of who you think they are. So totally 1000% get where you're coming from.
Yeah. I just love the imagery about like that comes from the song of like, they are burying her. And it was very much what she was going through with the whole, her masters being, you know, sold out from under her, but also her having to leave her masters behind to go to a new record company where she could actually own her music. And it buried her. And then she gets word that Scott Bruschetta is selling it to, you know, that wonderful person over there who made her life hell through her, through his artist. And she's angry and she is fighting back, which she's always been told like would be a great, you know, you're brave when you fight back, just to be like told, you know, you're making this worse. You're being a little spoiled brat. And I really just love how she paints this imagery of like, they're putting her, she's in the coffin in the room and they're at the wake crying over like, oh, she's dead. Oh, she's gone. But they're still wearing the jewels that she gave them, all of the money that they made from her record. And that's the line that made it very clear to me that this was about her record company was, "And when you can't sleep at night, you hear my stolen lullabies." And I was like, ooh, that is like the knife in turn to them. And so I can see why she wrote this as the first song for this album.
Beautiful.
It is kind of, it's almost like the song that would play at the funeral of the old Taylor. Like if you go back to like Reputation era, like, "Sorry, the old Taylor can't come to the phone right now." Why? Because she's dead.
She's dead.
And it's like, yeah, this, it also makes me think like with Reputation, and, you know, eventually we're going to have to get into all of that. But I think like when I think back to Reputation, it's not about it. Like, it's not about what I thought it was about at first, because I think there are so many hidden little messages and hidden little clues for the fans now to pick up on and be like, no, like this was about my old record company, because I was so angry and I knew that I had to leave and this would be my last album with them. And now like looking back on it, like that was the old Taylor. And it's just, it's kind of interesting just seeing how it all plays out as a whole.
Yeah.
Oh, show.
I really like how they're like, "You're cursing my name, wishing I stayed." And it's so true, because, you know, they sold her masters out from under her. And she's like, "Oh, I'm sorry that you bought these under false pretenses, thinking that I wouldn't re-record. Well, welcome. You're going to make no money because people are going to stop listening to these." And I think at one point Shamrock was looking at a way to go back to the record company that sold her masters to them and be like, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, this deal is not how you portrayed it to be." but I don't think anything ever came of it. But no. It's such a good FU song to the people who hurt you and then show up when you have fame and success, and you're leaving them behind, because so many people can do that in your life.
Can I tell you all something really, really funny?
No.
Okay, I won't.
I'm just kidding.
I'm going to. I used to work with a lady named Grace, and it was somebody's birthday, and Grace was like, I'm going to go pick up the cake. Cody, do you want to come with me? And I was like, sure. And then I got caught up in like a meeting, and Grace had to leave. And then one of my other coworkers came up to me, and they were like, why didn't you go with Grace? And I was like, I didn't have it in myself to go with Grace. And they just looked at me, and I was like, sorry, it's a song lyric. I really like that song lyric, and this is the only applicable time that I can use it. So I used it. and then I had to explain why I didn't actually go.
if you're not a Swiftie, you don't know.
No. Everybody just kind of looks at you when you reference Taylor Swift lyrics. Like, why did you say all of that nonsense? And it's like, yeah, well, if you were Taylor Swift, you would appreciate why I said all of that nonsense. But sadly, you're not.
And so here we are.
Love that journey for you.
That's hilarious.
All right. Speaking of journeys, should we journey on into ratings?
Let's do it.
Meredith, you get to go first.
I love this song, so I'm definitely going to give it a 13. Just the whole thing, just from start to finish, is beautiful. Painful, but beautiful.
Fair. Cardi C.
Cardi C.
This song also gets a 13 from me.
No, I'm giving it a 12.
Really?
Because it took me a long time to warm up to this song.
Okay.
So, yeah.
I'm going to give it a 12.
I will say, Christina, because you talked about like the word ricochet and you not really liking it, and like, because the imagery with the gun, it's kind of like, in my opinion, it even makes it better, because it's like, it's almost like he shot and killed her. Like, you get what I'm saying? Like, I don't know, maybe I'm just talking out my butt.
Yeah, I also think it's because the lyric video when it first came out is just like dark and water.
Yeah,
and I was just like, I get it, like ripples, like whatever, it just, I don't know. The word ricochet to me is like a very intense word. And I think that's why it took me a long time to really, I don't know. We all have words like that, that are just odd to you. So, or it just might be me. It's fine. But on that note, I have nothing left to say.
See you next week.
This episode was sparkling. Don't you let it go. We are just as excited to meet and connect with you as you are to meet and connect with the one and only Taylor Swift herself. So go follow us on Instagram @EnchantedPod and tell us your theories, favorite songs, and so much more. See you there.